This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. I have to confess, I was wondering, where's the Jewish angle to this James Bond story,
wasn't it? I don't think you can have a Jewish James Bond. What's he going to do? Sit down and say, no, I don't want the martini. But if you've got some chicken wings, maybe. You know what I mean? I just don't think so, you know, and he'll sit down and just start complaining. I don't think Jewish James Bond is ever going to be a bestseller. I just don't think so.
No comment.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's take a look at some of the stories happening in Australia. Former Israeli minister has been fined for attempting to block Malka Leifer's extradition to Australia. We were following that story very closely. What happened with this?
Exactly. So we've spoken about this gentleman before. So his name is Yaakov Litzman. He was former health minister, a longtime ally of Bibi Netanyahu when he was PM. And as listeners might recall, for a long time, there was Malka Leifer, while in Israel, had a six-year legal battle against being extradited to Australia to face a trial where she is facing charges with approximately between 60 and 70 charges of child sexual abuse back here in Australia. And part of the reason, only part of the reason, but that this legal battle to extradite her took 6 years was that Yaakov Litzman, who was then deputy health minister and health minister, was subsequently accused of pressuring health ministry employees to alter psychiatric evaluations to make it appear that she was unfit to stand trial, unfit to be extradited. And eventually that was all overturned, and she was extradited to Australia in January 2021 last year. So now an Israeli court has sentenced Litzman to what seems to be a pretty light sentence, one has to say, because of his involvement in the Malka Leifer saga. And he has been fined $900 and a suspended sentence of about 8 months. And that has taken place in the last few days.
Amazing.
So it is, and part of the deal, prosecutors have dropped other charges, which said that he used his influence to prevent a friend's deli from being shut down over health concerns. So that charge was thrown out.
If you think about it, once a person starts getting involved with using their political influence for an outcome that suits them or suits their friends, there's really no limit to it. It's unlikely that there'll only be one or two incidents.
Well, exactly. I mean, and your point is very well made. He resigned from the Knesset after holding his seat for 23 years, and he was there for a long time, but he has actually promised to remain involved in politics. So that's the good news.
Well, there's a promise. There's a promise we hope nobody keeps.
And in fact, the court's ruling in Jerusalem, a district attorney argued that the severity of Litzman's actions was clear, but, quote, there were no financial or personal interests which motivated him, and, quote, his actions did not cause damage. Now, that last sentence is a pretty, I would say, problematic sentence because, you know, those who allegedly suffered at Malka Leifer's hands would argue that they have been suffering enormous emotional damage for years and years and years, waiting for their day in court. So, an interesting finding, and his attorney said there were 600,000 inquiries came across his desk while he was in the ministry, and this was, you know, one failure of judgment.
Right.
So, pretty light sentence, all things being considered. And so a minor fine, $900, $900, and well, 3,000 Israeli shekels, and a suspended sentence of 8 months.
The new Australian neo-Nazi group using encrypted messages app Telegram to recruit members.
Yes, so this is pretty disturbing stuff, and this issue the Sydney Morning Herald gave a full two pages just a couple of days ago about this new neo-Nazi group called European Australian Movement, right. A neo-Nazi organization founded here in Melbourne by a Melbourne extremist leader who is not identified for legal reasons, and a full two-page coverage on how they are, this group is on a recruitment drive mainly targeting university students, young adults, etc., with graffiti, stickers, posters on walls and signs outside. There's one particular university just outside Sydney, and targeting also local immigrant communities, etc. And, I mean, pretty disturbing stuff how this group is seemingly gaining traction, and with encrypted messages on Telegram, which is an encrypted communication platform, and just spreading its message. And so, pretty disturbing. I guess the good news, in quotes, is that mainstream media are shining a light on this. But nevertheless, the two-page spread is accompanied by photographs of members of this group, and, you know, with full regalia there, with swastikas, iron crosses, and you name it.
Incredible.
Exactly, very much so, in the background. So pretty disturbing stuff, and at least, as I say, it's... a light is being shone upon it,
but,
which obviously...
Vic, how serious... I mean, how serious a problem is this? It really does seem to be becoming a bit of an issue, because our next story as well, a public display of Nazi symbols banned in New South Wales. It's got to be one of the few countries actively dealing with this type of threat or concern on an ongoing basis.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the next story, as you say, that here in New South Wales, just a couple of days ago now, and is historical moment, is that that a new law making it a criminal offence to publicly display Nazi symbols without a reasonable justification has now passed the New South Wales Parliament. New South Wales is the most populous state in the country, and that's where Sydney is located. And New South Wales is probably the fifth state to have passed such a law. So it is something which does exercise a lot of attention, and not just obviously from the Jewish community, but attorneys general around the country, you know, who care about this stuff, have taken it on board. And so the new sentence here in New South Wales, there's a maximum penalty of 12 months or an $11,000 fine, or both for an individual, or $55,000 for an organization. And obviously there are exceptions if it's for academic purposes, artistic purposes. In other words, you know, if the opera house puts on The Sound of Music, well, that took place in Nazi-occupied Austria, you're going to have a swastika. But it's encouraging, I guess, is that it is being taken seriously. And interestingly also, this was an important part of this latest issue, is that the Hindu-Indian community, which is very substantial in this country and in this state, is on board with this. And why that's of relevance is because, as people are aware, the swastika, in slightly different shape, is a sacred symbol of peace and renewal for the Hindu people, and has been that for thousands of years. And the swastika and the Nazis came along and then turned it on its axis and made it their hated symbol for representing what we know. So the Hindu community was consulted and taken on board with this current campaign, latest campaign, and are supportive of this, given, you know, with these sort of caveats and qualifications that come with this new law.
Yeah, it's just absolutely fascinating and quite concerning. That is where we leave it. Vic Aladev, thank you, as always, former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies.